the overwhelming majority of Americans will die of complications from a chronic disease. At the same time, that overwhelming majority will pay little attention to what that means, awaiting a medical crash instead, forcing us to face the inevitable. Hi, welcome to the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, go to practicalbioethics.org. That's practicalbioethics.org. John Carney joins us to discuss chronic disease and aging. He is the Vice President for Aging and End of Life at the Center for Practical Bioethics and will present a lecture on the subject on June the 3rd. More on that later, but John, first give us an idea of the scope of the issues involved with chronic disease and aging in this country.
Well, Arel, we live with a completely different set of expectations than our parents did in terms of how to face the end of life. And around the middle of this last century, things changed. Things changed big time for us. And from that point on, we've really begun to develop a different way of dying in America. We die of chronic disease. We do not die of acute episodes anymore. Most of us remember our parents or grandparents dying of a heart attack or a very short time frame with cancer. That's not true anymore. So it's fundamentally changing the way that we approach end of life, the last chapters of our lives.
And we're not really acknowledging that yet, are we?
We don't. We don't at all. And I think part of it is there is a natural inclination not to embrace end of life. Obviously, we have it within our makeup to say we want to live as long as possible. So that kind of aversion to that topic is not unnatural. In fact, it is very natural. There's good research to show that. But I think what we have to understand is that when that final illness actually occurs, or the final episode of a series of illness, we need to be aware of the kinds of things that work and the kinds of things that really don't work or work to our detriment. And a lot of that has to do with kind of this arsenal that we always put at our disposal and saying no to that because it's not going to be effective treatment. But it's very, very difficult for families and for physicians to say, well, it's time to look at a different way and to readjust our thinking.
So this comes down to planning for that eventuality, but we're not good at that, and we have a healthcare system that's not set up for healthcare planning. And what you will bring up on June the 3rd is that we have a subspecialty care system in place that fragments the care.
We do. The United States has really developed a method of being able to address illness and disease kind of by organ or by disease category. And we really don't function on really focus on the person. We focus on the disease process. And so there's a whole series of things, kind of shifts that have to take place in order for us to get reacclimated, especially for frail elderly and for those with advanced illness, to say, what's really going on here? How many other things are happening here? And it's not just this organ or this disease. It has to do with a complex set of interactions, and then also has to get back to goal setting. Is, you know, how does this family want to deal with this illness? What kind of burden and benefit really is going? So it's about planning, and it's also about goal setting. What are the goals of the patient, especially when you get into advanced age, in terms of the kinds of lives that they really want to be able to live? You're not going to make this person better. They've got the disease. Eventually, it's going to take their life. How do we do a better job of making sure that we're providing the right complement of services and set of services that make sense to the patient?
So someone has to step in and be an advocate then, right?
Someone does. Now, we want to think that that's going to be the patient. In many cases, it can't be. The patient has got dementia or has other diseases that prevent them from being able to do it. So we're kind of moving towards a shared decision-making model where families involve themselves with the patient in helping understand complex issues and then being able to help kind of chart the course and then sitting down with the medical community or the providers and saying, what do we want to be able to accomplish here? And then dealing with those issues of, well, I want to be able to do this, but mom thinks this is better, and is it or not, and that kind of thing. It's a very complex discussion and takes a lot of effort on everybody's part to put the patient first.
It seems like there's a big question and kind of a tension between palliative care and curative care, and it seems like we really haven't achieved a balance on that yet.
There really is a dynamic tension between those two. I think that is probably one of the most fundamental issues. We also don't have a good understanding of kind of the benefits of palliative care outside of end-stage illness, outside of hospice. In fact, hospice and palliative care are kind of put into the same mix. And palliative care is much broader than that. Palliative care kind of moves upstream in terms of the disease process and really needs to be more involved in the discussion around chronic disease, because most of us are going to die of a chronic disease. About 70% of us already do. Within the next 10 years, we're projecting 80% of us will. That is a huge shift for us, and it's going to take us a while in healthcare to say, all right, what does that mean for us? What is, how is that different in terms of the kinds of questions we're asking and the kinds of treatment recommendations that we make to our families?
When you say chronic conditions, what are we talking about?
The most common are lung diseases, what's known as COPD, cardiopulmonary diseases, congestive heart failure. Most of us will die of a heart disease, but most of us will not die of a single episode heart attack. We're going to die of a disease process that takes many, many years. It's congestive heart failure, CHF is the one that you'll hear most often. Hypertension, and a huge new increase in the number of cases of diabetes. And a lot of that has to do with adult onset. It's, you know, it's because as we age, our pancreas and our liver and other organs don't function as well, so there's increased risk. But the complications of those things coming together, hypertension, chronic disease, it gets complexifying for families. Most people over the age of 80 have five different diagnoses that they're trying to deal with, and pain along with that. So, you know, and other conditions like osteoarthritis that probably will never take your life but can make life a miserable existence for you. So all of those things kind of come together, and families are dealing with this all over the place all the time and befuddled by it.
You say we're befuddled. What can we do to address that befuddlement?
Well, I hope to be able to cover some of that in my presentation that I'll be doing. But what I would recommend is post that, is that they get a hold of the center, because we're going to have some resources that families can be able to access that I'm sure you'll be able to have them direct them to on the web, that actually go through some of the things that they need to take initiative on when they visit with their doctors, kind of a step-by-step process in a variety of areas. It's actually coming out of the process that the Center for Home Care Policy Research has developed on a variety of different kinds of conditions and states for seniors, and really helping families and healthcare providers deal with this discussion in a realistic way. But there's like, I don't know, five or six different conditions that they're saying, here's what we know from the literature, here's what the evidence is telling us, here are the things that you can do step by step in either asking questions, creating plans, or getting more information for yourselves to be able to make good decisions down the road.
Well, let's highlight a little bit an ideal scenario. You talk about perhaps an 80-year-old individual, five different chronic conditions, including arthritis and pain. What is an ideal scenario to work through various situations within that kind of scenario?
I think the first thing families should do is sit down with the physician, the primary physician who understands the biggest disease. The trouble is most of us have five or six different doctors. When we get to that
absolutely,
point.
Yeah.
But we really need to get to a primary care physician or somebody who understands the patient well enough to know really kind of what's going on in the person, not just within the particular disease process. And then say, what will this look like as this disease progresses? Somebody needs to ask that, even if it's a theoretical question, you know, maybe dad's going to live for another 5 years. What will this look like? Most of us have no clue what advanced chronic disease looks like. And have that discussion that allows the person to say, okay, you're likely to die of this disease maybe 5-7 years down the road, but here are the things that you're going to have to face along the way. And then get ready to say, okay, so what does that mean in terms of burden and benefit? What does that mean in terms of where we're currently living? What does that mean in terms of the costs associated with care that we're going to need? Who's going to do that? And ready yourself for some of those things. It's kind of that look inside and the kind of a, it's not a crystal ball because we do know what happens with these diseases, but it's a kind of a way for us to prep ourselves to say, well, this isn't coming as any surprise when a year down the later we have that, you know, that fall, or we have, you know, there's ways for us to know that these kinds of things commonly occur, and there are things that families are going to have to face as a result of those common occurrences. But have the guts, have the courage to sit down and say, okay, here's the situation. What do we need to do to prepare for it, reduce our risks, improve our chances for good outcomes, and be able to make sure that mom or dad or whoever it is that we're caring for is, you know, preferences, their values are captured in the plans that we make, so that if there is additional burden, we're dealing with it, and we're doing it in a way that fits their preferences and values. And those discussions take place after we know what the trajectory looks like. If you don't know what the trajectory looks like, it's exactly what you said at your opening. You have that crash, that aha moment, and all of a sudden crisis erupts. Families don't deal well with, you don't make good decisions in crises. The only way to avoid that is to have that conversation that takes a while to be able to say, draw it out. Okay, you know, let's really talk about what this is going to look like in 5 years. It doesn't have to be tomorrow, but just be able to have the courage to ask the questions.
With the way the American family, though, is, though, isn't that a challenge? We're all fractured. We're all, you know, mom and dad is in the Midwest. Son and daughter may be in California. Does that make that particular scenario that you went through that much more difficult?
It can. It can make it more difficult. But I think at the same time, in that conversation that you have about values and preferences, you also name somebody in that discussion to say, this is the person I want to speak for me. This is the closest individual who I know will honor what my preferences are, and I'm going to name this person to do it. And then share that information with those folks in California or wherever and say, when it comes to this point, this is the person. Be clear about that. This is the person who's going to be able to speak for me. And make sure that person feels confident because those discussions have taken place. You know, there's no magic bullet here. There's no way that we're going to
be able to solve it. Well, we always look for that, though, John.
Yes, we do, especially in American healthcare. We want that magic bullet. What we really want, in most cases, is for healthcare to fix this person and restore their health. That's not going to happen with chronic disease. Some of those changes are very subtle, and we don't see them. But when it's harder to get out of bed in the morning, and it's harder to see than it was, you know, last year this time, or you got to change your glasses again, those are the telltale signs that we're moving down that road.
John Carney is the Vice President for Aging and End of Life at the Center for Practical Bioethics. He is presenting a lecture on chronic disease and aging on June 3rd at the Kauffman Foundation in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information, go to practicalbioethics.org. That's practicalbioethics.org. You've been listening to the Bioethics Channel. I'm your host, Laurel LeBou. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.